Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. It's your favorite part of the Who Would Win show. It's Ray. Anyway, Who Would Win show has a Patreon, and if you'd like to check it out, you can find it at patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. Join in if you'd like to vote for future characters, talk to the infamous boardroom, and catch videos you can only find on Patreon, like outtakes or our bonus segments, Thunderdome, and The Third Degree. You can even join for free and get a heads up on our next battle before everyone else. If that sounds like something you'd like to be a part of, just go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and take your place in the conversation. Now, I got a battle to go win. I'll see you Rainiacs on the other side.
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gabs, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ray Stakanis. In today's episode, we review season 6 of the Who Would Win show, and what a season it was. We revisit the highs, the lows, and everything in between. Of course, I've got a lot to say about it. Before I do, Ray, what are your thoughts overall about season 6?
It's been a year, James. It's been a long, torturous year. And also the Who Would Win show. We're having fun. We've been doing this now for 6 seasons, nearly 6 years, because season 1 started in like February, right? We've been doing this a very, very long time. We know what we're doing. I would argue to say that one of us is a master of our craft. And I think that season 6 might have been the biggest year. And I don't say that casually. I think season 6 might have been, I'm not Tony Schiavone, circa 1998 WCW up in here. Season 6 was potentially the biggest season as far as characters, as far as size, as far as scope. We started the year with Godzilla Earth versus Worldbreaker Hulk and somehow didn't go down from there. That's a heck of a season. Everybody involved with the show, except for you, should be very, very proud of the work that we have done. And I just want to thank me. Thanks, me.
Well, you know, this was an important season for us. We wanted to go bigger, better, and what have you. We wanted to nail this down in case you've been hiding underneath a rock. I am the champion of season 6.
Oh, were you? I didn't know.
No, it's true. It's true, Ray. I beat a very tough Ray Stakanis this season. Ray, my hat is off to you. You came out like strong right from the get-go. Your debating has hit new levels of just absolute insane greatness. Yeah, I just said it. Insane greatness from Ray Stakanis. And yet somehow you came up short. You know why? Because I wanted this season to win very, very badly. You had me up 3-2. We're tied, which means season 7 is going to be epic. But look, to revisit with season 6, I agree. This was our best season yet. I'm pretty sure we hit new levels of battles, debating, great judging. Overall, I think the Who Would Win show has never been better. I am insanely excited to dive right into the insanity that was season 6. But before I do, let's bring on a special someone who can keep me and Ray under control, and someone who hopefully can wield their power in a responsible way. I'm not talking about any executive of the Who Would Win show. I'm not even talking about board members. I'm talking about someone who can see through everything that you and I do, all of the harshness, the insanity, everything else we bring to the table. and just kind of help us with this season six review. What a great episode it'll be, because making another appearance on the Who Would Win show, it's the overseer of the popular patron segment known as Thunderdome. By the way, if you want to check out Thunderdome, join our Patreon to see what we're talking about with a code WWW75 for 75% off your initial membership with us for the Who Would Win show's Patreon community. You know who I'm talking about. It's Robert Clark Chan. Robert, welcome back to Who Would Win.
I certainly hope you're not expecting me to keep you people under control. You need to keep me under control. I feel like I didn't do enough to sow chaos this season. So I'm really going to try and derail this thing before we get out of 2024.
All right, Rorschach, get out of here. I'm not stuck in here with you. You're stuck in here with Robert Clark Chan.
They'll look up and I'll and say, help us. And I'll say, maybe.
I don't know.
That's my best Alan Moore.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
You know, listen, Robert, you do a lot of things really well, not that, but many other things extremely well. What was your overall opinion of season six?
I mean, I'm frankly impressed with the direction that the show has gone. Here's the deal. I am terrible at business and marketing and doing all of the things. The only thing I care about when I'm involved in a show, when I come to a show or do anything, is the quality of the product. Is it worth listening to? Is it entertaining? Does it create its own set of rules and follow them so that everything flows logically? And I mean, honestly, this show's one of the best out there. There are 10 million Who Would Win shows out there. Everybody has an opinion about who would win this or that, and everybody has already started their own podcast. They go three episodes and disappear, but still, try looking for us in, iTunes or something like that. There's so many shows that are just called Who Would Win, but I think the fact that it's been 6 years now and you're still going strong, still making an effort to have decent matchups, interesting matchups, because like eventually you run out of Superman versus Goku, where else are you going to go? And on the levels of creativity, I think this show honestly knocks it out of the park.
That means a lot coming from Robert Clark Chan, because to pull back the curtain a little bit for Legion of Audience, Robert Clark Chan has very high standards, listens to podcasts, knows what he's talking about. So thank you. I will take all of that as a compliment for the entire team. Ray, look, let's shift over to you real quick.
No, hold on. The single nicest thing I've ever heard Robert Clark Chan say. I'm wondering what his angle is. I want to know who put him up to it. Was there money involved? Because I didn't see it. What is happening with that? Is it because it's the holiday season?
You get one from me. That's it. So take this, savor it. I don't know. Cut it onto a little YouTube clip and play it over and over as your Zoom background. I don't know how you want to do it, but enjoy this moment, because you're not getting another one.
Way to take a great moment and just absolutely trash it. That is racist.
No, look, Ray, I've done Knowing Is Half the Podcast with Robert Clark Chan for like 9.5 years now, dear Lord. And I've never heard him say anything approaching that. He says, I want my make sure the shows I'm on to be of quality. I want to make sure that the shows I'm on make sense and are worth listening to. And yet we're still doing Knowing Is Half the Podcast, which he's never said any of those nice things about before.
It's what propels me to do. I have to make up a lot of karma for that show.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Robert Clark Chan, high standards. Great, great judge, all that kind of good stuff. Ray, look, if you had to sum up season six in one word, what would that word be?
That word would be over the top, because, and I'm a heavy tipper, so don't worry about the extra words. It's over the top. We started with the highest of highs. We put together some absolutely phenomenal matchups. We finally put Dr. Manhattan in a battle against Q. And the response to that from the fans was astronomical, right? And not since we used Drizzt Durden 150 seasons ago have I gotten people this excited about seeing a character in a match. And we took a lot of chances this year. And I think more often than not, we got some real strong, like doubles, triples, home runs, not a lot of strikeouts. And with a show like this, you just never know what you're going to get. Previous seasons, I don't want to say too much. There have been some strikeouts. There have been some foul tips to the catcher and mumbling to yourself as you go back to the dugout. This season, not a lot of misses. And I'm very happy that we've been able to, through our own process, our own boardroom, as we talk about a lot on this show, the boardroom, the yelling, the stomping. I stood on a few tables in front of everybody and kicked people's laptops off. Look, and it was worth it because these matchups, I think, really paid off this year. What I'm really going to remember is the strength of our battles.
Yeah, it was a really, really good season. Look, my one word would be undeniable, as in, at this point, I truly believe that the Who Would Win show has cemented itself firmly into one of the top shows dealing with those hypothetical geek culture matchups. Look, you got your death battles, epic rap battles. Those are absolutely fantastic. At this point, the Who Would Win show, with the quality that we're doing, our process, everything we got going, we're now in that upper echelon as well. I don't care who says what. Someone says, hey, would you fight me for that? Hell yes, I would. And everyone knows I would. I love this show. It's absolutely fantastic. And speaking of a few words that might be good, maybe not, here's a word from our executive VP, Brent Pope.
Are we connected with the mainland? Okay, well, that would be nice to know. Isn't that the concierge's job? Thank you. Hey, guys, since I'm on an undisclosed island for the holidays and can't record with you live, I'm leaving you this message. Which island? None of your business. That's why it's undisclosed. Anywho, save this message, drop it in the show, and you're welcome. 3, 2, 1... Hey, Legion of Audience, and to a lesser extent, the Awkward Allies. It's your favorite executive VP TV's Brent Pope. Happy holidays, and thanks for being part of the best season yet.
But Brent Pope, the best season yet? How? James dominated, and it wasn't even close.
I said what I said. Pause the recording. Just between us, do not repeat this. Just finished a meditation sesh and had an epiphany. Delvin Cox is just not pleasant to be around, to say the least. Yeah, I did this podcast, The Delvin Cox Experience, once. More like the Exborians. Never again. Anywho, Avvo, do not repeat that. Not for human consumption. I've been working on a robot voice. Pretty solid, right? Okay, resume recording. So you may have noticed I chose to only do one show in 2024. Undoubtedly the best one of the year, Magneto versus Omni-Man. I plan on being much more active in 2025 because when the cat's away, the mice will play. And the fans deserve more of me, let's just be honest. To be clear, Ray and James, you are the mice in this scenario, and I'm the cat.
Excuse me, Sid?
Oh, okay, I gotta go. My masseuse is ready. Coming, Ricardo. Seriously, heads are gonna roll in 2025. Trust.
Mr. Bell.
Ricardo, I'm coming. Okay, I'm so tense now. Ooh, is it chamomile tea? No, Earl Grey. Ricardo, you know I'm a chamomile man.
Wow, okay, I wasn't expecting that. Ray, what are your thoughts on what Executive VP Brent Pope just said?
I've known Brent Pope longer than I've known Robert Clark Chan somehow, and we've done shows. I don't know how he weaseled his way into being executive VP. I still don't know how he became executive VP of this show. I think he won it in a card game. I may have been playing in that game and just don't remember it. I play loose sometimes. The point I'm trying to make in all of this is if you really want my real, real, real impression of executive VP Brent Pope, let's go to commercial.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. I'll bring us back from commercial. Shut up, James. I'm hijacking this train. I've got a bandana over my mouth and a volcanic gun. I've been playing Red Dead Redemption 2, and it's pretty good. Anyway, you can have the show back now. I told you all during that commercial break what I thought of Brent Pope. Unfortunately, none of that's going to make the air. What a bummer.
That's too bad. Look, it's finally time to get down to business and review season 6 of the Who Would Win show. So let's go down the list and see what Ray and myself, Legion of Audience, the Who Would Win production team and board members, and also our Patreon members of the Who Would Win show actually had to say about season 6. Look, throughout this episode, you'll hear some cool thoughts from some of our members of our Patreon community, and they'll kind of reveal what they thought of season 6. So starting off, what was the most surprising judge's decision of season 6 of the Who Would Win podcast? Ray, what was the decision this year that really surprised you the most?
There were a bunch of rough ones out there. You know, the Titans versus the Seven. I put more on the line in that one, and I sadly did not come away with a victory. I was a little bit surprised. I thought the judge might go with me a little bit more. Benny T, looking at you. Unfortunately, that's not what happened. The one that really got to me the most, I think, was definitely Dr. Doom versus Black Adam. I thought I put together an absolutely winning formula for an argument. And unfortunately, our judge, Toby Marisano, returning judge, he thought the speed of Black Adam. I vociferously disagree with that decision as well. And then, you know, they're always scattered around. There's always a few weird ones, a few different ones. I was super happy, for example, with the ghoul from the Fallout TV show versus Rambo. That was one I did win, and I deserved to win, and I won with a Fallout character. So, you know, I'm going to be very, very happy about that. There's all kinds of crazy ones out there. You know, losing with Master Chief again, I think, also really hurt. And I really expected to win that one, too. I don't know what I get. Some of these characters, the ones I want to win with the most, the RoboCops, the Master Chiefs, I can't pull a win with to save my ever-loving life. And I don't like it.
You know, I this is one thing. I do understand what it's like to lose a match where you're absolutely sure you've got the win. For me, it was Dr. Manhattan versus Q. Q, as great as Q is, exists within maybe 1 to 2 dimensions, whereas Dr. Manhattan can destroy an entire multiverse filled with every dimension you can think of from the DC universe. I just thought that would have done it. But again, I came up with the loss. But let's get to the official nominees, the most surprising judge decisions of the year. Now, the nominees are Captain America beating Dr. Robotnik, Spider-Gwen beating Bane, Dr. Doom losing to Black Adam, and The Mandalorian beating Judge Dredd. And the winner is Dr. Doom versus Black Adam. Ray, you got the loss repping Dr. Doom. Look, Dr. Doom's a great character, but definitely prep time is something he needs. And against Black Adam, he just didn't have it. Why do you think that this was the most surprising decision made by a judge?
I feel like in that particular battle, and this is one I just mentioned, right? Also, real quick, you talked about Dr. Manhattan versus Q. You know, we very often put these polls up on Patreon right after the battle, and we ask, who do you think won? We know what the judge says. What do you think? And for the Q versus Dr. Manhattan battle, Patreon, 90% to 10% said I won that battle with Q. So stop your nonsense about it. Everybody seems to. That's one of the biggest slam dunks, and it was me who won. That should really tell you what's going on. Now, as far as the Dr. Doom versus Black Adam battle goes, I feel like I really played the stage for defense. I talked about how Dr. Doom has these contingencies in play, both magic and scientific based. He's fought against very powerful speedsters and other characters before and doesn't really have a lot of problems with them. So the idea that Black Adam would just speed rush him with something so powerful that he couldn't defend against it, I didn't like that reasoning. Sometimes when a judge comes through with a decision, I can at least say, okay, I can at least see how you got to where you get to, even if I don't agree with it. It's never happened, but at least it could happen theoretically. But here, I listened to that and I just went, I it's like you didn't listen to a word I said the entire battle. And that's when I get super out of my mind frustrated with the judging on the Who Would Win show.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening to anything you were just saying right
there.
I was thinking about our judges. You know, Robert Clark Chan, you've judged a few episodes where your decision has been, to put it mildly, surprising. What kind of insight do you have for a judge who kind of goes that way as opposed to saying like, hey, here's a clear logic instead. Here's what I'm going to do instead. Why do you think judges do that?
I mean, here's the thing. Being a judge is really hard. First off, you have to keep all of your thoughts out of it. So even if you know a little bit of something, or like, oh, I seem to recall that Flash could, you know, he ran around the earth and beat Superman. You have to let it all go. All of your biases, all of your previous knowledge. And then you get assaulted with, and I'm going to call it an assault. It is a factual assault that you two just bury the audience and the judges in. And it's beautiful. But if you're not listening for enjoyment, I'm over here taking notes, scrambling around, trying to figure out, you know, get everything down and then put it all together into something coherent. It's really, really hard. And when it comes down to it, you have to, you know, synthesize all that information. There's not a whole lot of time, and you've got to make a decision on the fly. Do you go with your brain? Do you go with your heart? You know, maybe you had some bad Thai food and you're going to go with your gut. It's hard to tell what happens on a day-to-day basis. Every judge is different. But the important thing is that, doing it is real hard. So when someone, makes a call that isn't all that great, you know, give them a little grace, because someday you could be up there and you're going to realize, it ain't as easy as all that.
You know, I've never been a judge on the show, and I'm actually not looking forward to that fateful day when it's going to happen, because, yeah, that's not an easy position to hold. But you know what? Some judges are fantastic, and some others rise even higher depths of greatness. Well, I don't know what you want to call it, because, you know,
higher
we have such great
of greatness.
Wow. The French
what
was
is
overcoming.
Is English
the French
not your
was
first
overcoming
language
my
or something?
English.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Los juges qui sont meilleurs que les autres. You know, anyway, the French was
also
very
so was
there.
That French for the depths of greatness?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, then.
You know what? Feel free to be to let culture enter your life a little bit. There's more that happens in the English language than
sometimes
just English.
I leave a pizza under the mattress and I see a lot of culture a couple months later.
Hello, this is Cash Day. I have been watching the show since quarantine, and I've been a Patreon since July of this year. My favorite part of this season would have to be getting a chance to interact with the community more through the Patreon, even to the point where the first character suggestion poll I've been a part of, I won, that character being Waluigi. Have a good new year, everyone.
Hey, this is Ken, better known as Bjorn the Viking. This is a great year. It was a lot of fun to listen to, although some of the judging was less than stellar. Some creative decisions, if you'll call it that. So, I think this year, there needs to be more raiding parties. You know what I'm saying? Bringing the Viking back. Trust the Viking. Skull.
On to our next big category. Speaking of great judges, who was the best judge of season 6? Now, last year, Roger Craig Smith won the Judge of the Year award, and you'll never believe it, but he was nominated yet again.
Not a surprise.
Ray, what did you think of the judges for this season?
Look, there's judges that in my favor. There's judges that work against me. There are some that only seem to work against me. One of them is on this show today, Robert Clark Chan.
Is that? Oh, wow.
Thankfully, Mr. Stefan Thomas did not get a nomination from anybody for Judge of the Year. He actually might be nominated for Get Banned Off the Show of the Year. Is that a new award that I just made up? Yes. And I feel that it is appropriate, which almost assuredly means James is going to bribe some boardroom members when I'm on a big winning streak and bring back Stefan the Cooler Thomas to make sure that he does what he needs to do in your eyes. I think about the fact that I lost this season. I think back to judges like that, and I get a little chippy. But there are some great judges. Look, we have some great judges that didn't even get nominated for Judge of the Year. I'm going to say right now, William Schmidt came back. He's one of our most cerebral judges. He did a phenomenal job. I mentioned AJ Porfirio, the president of Van Ryder Games and co-creator of the Final Girl game I'm obsessed with. He comes out and he tells like a full-on like 7-minute story of his decision, and I am captivated when I listen, you know? And then we have some other, Matthew Watterson came back, Frank Todaro came back. Like, we have have some real superstar judges. Of course, Roger Craig Smith is an absolute legend. I like a lot of the judges that come on this show. And we even had some newcomers like Douglas Burton, who came on for a pretty phenomenal battle. And I just like it when a judge comes on the show, whether they know what's going on or not, they come in and they play the game. They come in and they take it seriously. In earlier seasons, James, maybe you could speak to this. We brought on a few judges who didn't understand what we do and weren't interested in finding out. And it made for a few very painful experiences to the point where seasons one and two are now only available on Patreon.com. We mentioned Patreon a lot. This was not meant to be an hour-long ad for Patreon, but it kind of turned into one. So maybe that's your heart telling you to go check it out. Patreon.com/WhoWouldWinShow. I'll shill for it. I don't care. The point I'm trying to make is consistency of judges has gotten a lot better. And we have a lot less duds than we've had in previous seasons. You know who you are. Or better yet, you don't.
I think we don't need to let people know who they were. We wish everyone the best. But, you know, we definitely admire.
But you know,
admire.
Don't act like you don't.
Oh, that's right. Let's just say we very much appreciate those who judge in the spirit of the show. So with that being said, the nominees for top judge for season six are Roger Craig Smith, Delvin Cox, the smartest man on the internet, our very own Robert Clark Chan,
how?
Marshall Givens, Frank Todaro, AJ Porfirio. And this was super close. The fans had a lot to say about this, but the winner is Robert Clark Chan. Robert, congratulations. You are judge of the year for season six. Speech, what have you got to say with this amazing award?
Honestly, kind of shocked. Was not expecting that. Did not actually look at the poll at all, so I had no idea. Hey, man, I'm just trying to do right by the show and by the fans, so glad people enjoy it.
You know, I was a little concerned because the Deathstroke versus Care Bears episode really kind of derailed your credibility. I hate to say it with the Legion
Doesn't
of
count.
Audience, but
that was 2023.
I know, but it came back a number of times, and each time was better and better and better. So that show, that episode, still in memory, is but a distant memory at this point because you've just nailed it in recent history. Remember, Legion of Audience, this is the person who judged one of our greatest episodes of all time, Ronald McDonald versus the Burger King, and just did it so beautifully. I think, Robert Clark Chan, I think you deserve Judge of the Year for Season 6.
Hey, James. Hey, Ray. Just want to let you know that my favorite moment of season six was probably Q versus Dr. Manhattan, because my dad is a big Star Trek fan, so I was able to listen to that episode with him. So that's probably my favorite part. So, yeah.
Moving on, we started another category. Speaking of judges, we started this category last year, and we're talking about the Rookie Judge of the Year. Now, Ray, every season, we have a lot of amazing people come onto the show for the first time. And this year, we had, a dozen or so new judges, and each of them absolutely freaking killed it. Ray, you know, for people that don't know, Ray actually kind of really inspects each judge, really makes sure they have the qualifications. What are your impressions of this year's rookie judges, Ray?
Yeah, we have a pretty stringent process for getting judges on the show, especially first-time judges. A lot of people, you know, we get a lot of people who just started listening to the show 2 weeks ago. They find us on Facebook, and they're just like, hey, man, I like to be a judge on the show. Yeah, I bet you would. What are your bona fides to allow me to think you won't ruin the show by being on it? Yeah, I'm harsh, you know, because I have to be, because I want judges to be good. That's the thing I think that is so frustrating when a judge doesn't listen to me and or gives James a win, but one usually precedes the other. Let's keep it real. I want every judge to come in, feel great, do great, and give me the win. Is that so much to ask for? I don't think so. So when we have a new judge on, and let's keep it real, the entire team doesn't know how someone's going to react under pressure. I will say right now, I don't think he was on this season, but Ken Bjorn Turner broke the seal. Hashtag let the Viking judge. He came in. He was clearly very, very nervous in season five, but he came in. He did the job. He took it seriously and he knew exactly how to be a judge from listening to the show. And he came in and really allowed for us to expand the judge pool in season six and bring on a lot of people, give a lot of people chances. And quite honestly, I'm very glad we did. I thought we opened a lot of good doors. And I thought that a lot of good people who were first time judges had an opportunity. And I think, well, most of them didn't mess up their one chance at glory.
No, none of these new judges did. Look, so the nominees for top rookie judge for season six are Ray Carcillo, Matthew Dawson, who, by the way, is a great mind behind the Mortalverse audio drama. Check that out wherever you download and listen to podcasts. Show. Sam Proof, Adam Rose, the absolutely incredible Al Mega, but there can be only one. And the winner of top rookie judge of season six is Matthew Dawson. I am not surprised. Congratulations, Matthew. This is someone who's so into the Who Would Win show, has been a fan. At one point, he made these absolutely amazing video kind of, video clips to kind of showcase the upcoming episode. And now he's moved on to producing his own audio dramas and his own podcast. We couldn't be happier for you. You are destined for greatness. And we are so thankful that you're not just a great fan, but you were just an absolutely amazing first-time judge on season six. Now, the Who Would Win production team goes above and beyond to bring all types of opponents to the show. With that said, Ray, we've talked a lot about this before, and we talk about this every week in production meetings. Ray, who do you want to see in season seven make an appearance on the Who Would Win show?
You mean as a judge or as a character? Are we just
as a character?
Are we jumping tracks that fast? We're not going to let Matthew Dawson have a moment in the sun. What is this? The Oscars? You have 15 seconds and we play you off? I'm going to say right now, Matthew Dawson has been affiliated with the show. And when it came to Rookie Judge of the Year, we took the boardroom out of it. We wanted the people to speak. So we put the vote up on our Patreon. Yes, I'm mentioning it again. And Matthew Dawson, what really shocked me, look, my vote went to AJ Porfirio, mainly because I'm a huge fan of Final Girl and I loved his stories at the end of the show. That's no knock on Matthew Dawson. That said, Patreon overwhelmingly, there was no denying how much they wanted Matthew Dawson to win this award. And I think he absolutely deserves it. He came in for his one shot at greatness. He did not miss his chance to blow. Opportunity comes once in a lifetime. And he did not throw up mom's spaghetti all over his sweater already.
I love it. All right, listen. Ray, can we move on? Are you giving us the sign to move on?
Matthew Dawson, can I move on? I'm getting the word no. He's here and he's armed and he will not let me keep going unless I talk more. No, I'm just kidding. He's not armed.
Hey, Who Would Win team. It's Matthew Dawson here, sending a quick congratulatory message to the Who Would Win team. I mean, all of you did an incredible job this season. James and Ray both brought it with the debates and the judges. I mean, people are saying this is the best season yet, and I don't just think that's because I was a judge. I mean, that's why everyone else is probably saying it, but that's not why I would say it. I would say this has been the best season yet because the storytelling aspect of the show was really brought to the forefront this year. I mean, we had episodes like Daredevil versus Joker, Supergirl versus Loki, where the judges at the end just went crazy crafting a story about how this fight would go. And like, I'm excited to see what happens next year. How can it get crazier? Who's gonna win this ultimate tiebreaker season? We all want to know. We're all ramped up. Let's go. On to the next year. Congratulations, everyone.
The thing I want to say right now is, though, that he will be back again. I mentioned Ken Bjorn Turner. He will also be back again. Hashtag let the Viking judge again. But he'll only be judge again if an appropriate online hashtag gets popular. So if you want to see these people back, you better hit us up on social media. You better make the world know you want to see it. And then maybe I'll keep my word.
There you have it. Now, the Who Would Win production team goes above and beyond to bring all types of opponents to the show. With that said, Ray, who do you want to see make an appearance as a character in season seven?
I have no idea. We took a lot of characters we've been wanting to use forever. Dr. Manhattan, you know, the ghoul from the Fallout show, which had just come out. You know, there's a lot of great characters who made their first time appearance. You know, you've got Sabretooth. Somehow Sabretooth had never been on the show before, right? Waluigi. We put a wrestler on the show with The Undertaker versus an anime character. That was one of my favorite episodes to put together all year, was The Undertaker episode, because I got to read every issue of The Undertaker comic book, and I don't suggest anyone else do the same, quite honestly. But yeah, a lot of really cool first-time characters, a lot of video game characters. I'm very, very happy with that. If I'm going to pick some characters, I would go maybe Ciri from the Witcher series. They just announced, like, not that long ago that she's going to be the main protagonist in Witcher 4, and it's basically what Witcher 3 was leading up to, so I'm very, very excited to see that character as well. I think she deserves a day in the sun. And let's face it, more video game characters, more anime characters, as they pop out to us. And, I don't know, James, I want to know who you want to see, because obviously if I was the one booking the show, every single week would be a G.I. Joe character versus a video game character. And y'all won't let me do that. You all say X number of G.I. Joe characters a year and X number of video game characters a month. And I fight those margins tooth and nail. Keep it real. But who do you want to see? Because I've most, like, 98% of all characters I've ever wanted to see on the show, we have now had, we've had Captain Carrot on the show. We have had NFL Super Pro on the show. We have had the Russian Guardians on the show. I'm blessed in riches as far as getting the characters I want to see on. So I am at peace. I, of course, will want more at some point, but I am at peace. Job well done.
Look, we've had both of these characters on the show before, and, you know, when I meet new fans of the show or talk to old time fans, it just keeps coming back to this. It's the battle that really started it all.
God,
I think
it.
We need another episode
no,
of the
don't.
Muppets versus Sesame Street.
Nobody
I just
wants
said,
this.
I ran into a fan today. I was training someone at my martial arts school. This person came in for a sparring class after. I'd never met them before. And he's like, "Hi, my name's Henry, and I'm a huge fan of Who Would Win." I said, "Great, Henry, what are your favorite episodes?" He's like, "Oh, Muppets versus Sesame Street. I love that. You guys have to do that again."
It's
there you
weird
go.
That
yet
it,
again,
it's weird,
happened
James.
Today.
It's weird that he said his name was Henry when it was your son, Rex. And you told him to say that to you just so you could tell this story today. And by MMA, Jim, you mean your kitchen.
Listen, a lot of fighting happens in my kitchen. No, actually, this is a true story. It happened this morning, exactly as I said it, at Max Impact Martial Arts, conveniently located in the Pacific Palisades area of Los Angeles. The thing I'm trying to say is people want that matchup yet again. Look, our fan base has grown massively since season one, so it is brand new to a whole new generation of fans of the Legion of Audience. This is something we should consider. Patreon, I know what you're going to say, but everyone else, what do you think? Should we do Muppets versus Sesame Street War? I rep Sesame Street, and Ray is also there for the episode. Let us know what you have to say. Robert Clark Chan, who do you want to see on the show this season?
I'm probably going to take a cue from Sir Moxford, who asked for Banana Man. And really what that does is that opens up just a wealth of new options, because over at Knowing It's Off the Podcast, we just do mostly terrible cartoons, and there are so many bad cartoons.
Yeah.
So many awful, awful things that could be used as combatants in this show. So, you know, look up Banana Man, knowing ahead of time that it is the worst. Just
the
absolute worst.
You just opened it up. I want to see Super President on the show.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, we could do the Super Presidents. I don't know, Rubik the Amazing Cube.
Oh, he's right there.
Okay, hold on. Peppa Pig versus Dora the Explorer. I'm just putting this out there.
Honestly, probably a pretty good September showdown, now that you're saying
it
out loud.
That.
Yeah. I'll jump with that. All right, well, look, according to the Who Would Win production team and what they want to see in season 7, they chose Devastator, who is the combined forces of the Constructicons from the Transformers universe.
Okay.
Batman from the regular comics DC universe.
Wait, Iron hold Man on. He's been on the show like this year. James, this is your list. Why are you pretending anybody else had anything to say with this list?
No, Batman the from the DC Comics universe has not been on this season. Trust me, I would know that.
Sorry, other versions of Batman were on this
season.
That's
true. That was you're talking about Lego Batman
on this season. That was a great Lego episode Batman. Too.
There was Iron Man, Chun-Li from Street Fighter, and Van Helsing from Castlevania. And we've been speaking about Van Helsing forever. And finally, from Gohan from Dragon Ball. You know what I mean? You got to have Gohan.
Do you mean Simon Belmont? Because I would do. I pitched Van Helsing for Shocktober this year and got shut down because people told me, quote unquote, nobody cares about Van Helsing. I want to use the Hugh Jackman movie version of Van Helsing. Can I get a heck yeah this Shocktober? Demanded on social media. Put this nugget in your brain and then let it worm its way out in about 10 months' time.
Look, it's important to kind of see what the fans are going to say about this. I agree. I love our fans. They come up with great suggestions when we put up a post.
Batman.
Hey, give this opponent, this character an opponent, and some great suggestions come up. You know, our
hey,
fans
you know the problem
really
with the Who Would Win show? They don't use Batman enough on the show. It's a thing literally no one has ever said.
Yeah, because why use popular characters for a Who Would Win type show? Why would that work, I wonder, advertisers and anyone who wants to monetize a show? But, you know, why? We'll figure this out later. Look, our fans really are incredible. They come up with great suggestions for our opponents all the time. And speaking of fans, it's time to announce the Who Would Win Fan of the Year. Ray, before we announce the Who Would Win Fan of the Year for Season 6, we should take a quick moment and reveal what we think of the fan base, a.k.a. the Legion of Audience. So, Ray, now's your chance. What do you think of the fans of the Who Would Win show?
You know, as the seasons have gone on, my opinion of our fan base has been fairly low. They tend to go for lowest common denominators. They only want us to do the matchups that have been talked about 10 billion times to death. They, you know, if it was up to our fan base, we would do Goku versus Superman every other week with just some other weird stipulation like Goku versus Superman, but both of them are in wheelchairs. I don't know. I just made that up. That could be a thing, but it probably shouldn't be. It probably shouldn't be. The point I'm trying to make is the fan base doesn't know what it wants until we put it in front of them. And I will always say, you know that saying, the customer is always right. People always leave out the second half of that quote. Did you know there's a second half to that quote, people at home? I bet you didn't. The saying actually goes, the customer is always right in matters of taste. What that means is not that what the customer says means that that's the God's honest truth and you have to do what they say every time. It means if a customer says, I like that, the answer is always yes. If it's the most hideous shirt in the store, if somebody says, I want to buy this, you don't talk them out of it. What I'm trying to say through all of this is, I don't know. But the fan base on the Patreon, the fan base that I interact with on social media is generally tolerable. And that's good because I'm involved, as you know, I work in the video game industry during the day. And I have for quite a few years now, the entirety of my time on the Who Would Win show. So I've actually been doing it for quite a while. Wow. Where does the time go? Well, anyway, that fan base sometimes can be fairly toxic, fairly intolerant, fairly intolerable. And the Who Would Win fan base started out much the same way. But I'd like to say a saying I've had a long time when I worked in retail, which is you get the customer base that you deserve. And I think over 6 years of the Who Would Win show, we now have the customer base that we deserve, the one that we want. The people that are here are the people we want here in the room, which means finally, after 6 years of doing this nonsense, I actually want to talk to some of you. And that's a big step forward in the world of Ray.
You know, I'm lucky enough to go to, you know, San Diego Comic-Con and some other cool shows every once in a while. And
hey, that'd be a cool place to do a live show, James.
Sure would. And the good news is that, or the cool thing is that I, you know, sometimes just through talking with people, I find out people love the show. You never know when you're going to run to a fan. And, you know, the thing that really strikes me the most is that most of these fans are like, James, you're way freaking bigger than we thought. Because I guess I talk smaller than I am. I have no idea. And the other thing they say is how much they love the show. And we love them right back. We love the fans. We love the interaction. Even if we disagree with you, we still love you for the fact that you support the show. You're absolutely fantastic. And the Hoodwin production team, you know, also loves the fan base as well. But they went ahead and selected their personal nominees, their picks for possible fan of the year. And in no particular order, they are the mysterious person on X/Twitter known as Sinjin45. Nathan Fair, Cameron Sullivan, Gabe Ingrata, the resident Who Would Win genius, Matthew Dawson, again, the brilliant mind behind the Mortalverse audio drama, my biggest fan, who always sends me nice texts, encourages me to always do my best, super appreciated, Ray Cicanus' mom, and Ken Turner, a.k.a. the Viking. And you know the deal, there can be only one. The Season 6 Who Would Win Fan of the Year is Nathan Fair. Nathan, whoa, congratulations. Absolutely no surprise here. Look, Nathan has been active in our Facebook group in big ways. He always provides a great opinion. He's also an incredible member of our Patreon community. So congrats on winning Fan of the Year, Nathan. I'm excited to see which one of our Patreon members may qualify as a judge next season. Who knows? It could be Nathan because he's the Fan of the Year. Ray, we've talked about Nathan before, you know, before the show started. What are your thoughts on Nathan Fair?
No, I mean, look, Nathan Fair, he's known in all of our Patreon battles as fighting unfair. He's won a heck of a lot of matches one-on-one as it's gone along. Nathan Fair's been with us for a long time. I'm surprised. Look, I'll say it out loud. Nathan Fair is somebody who's active, which is we love. He always has great suggestions. We don't always take them. Sometimes it's a lot of suggestions. I'll keep it real. But honestly, there's always some good gold in all of the things that Nathan Fair is spinning. Nathan Fair is the reason, I'll say it right now, the only reason that Spyro the Dragon has made an appearance on this show, and I believe there's a couple other characters as well, that he has been instrumental through his vocal interaction with us on social media to get on the show. So I guess at the end of the day, it's not a big surprise that Nathan Fair is our fan of the year. I just want to say congratulations to you, and keep the suggestions coming, because we do listen. We don't always act. We're a little slow sometimes. We often have plans in place already, but we always listen. Hashtag we listen.
Greetings and salutations. This is Lord Snurts, a.k.a. Joshua Stearns, and my favorite moment of the Who Would Win show in 2024 was Optimus Prime versus Juggernaut with the judge Matthew Harris. These two titans went at it. Juggernaut took the win, and I thought it was a classic Who Would Win style match, featuring two different opponents duking it out. So to everybody at the Legion of Audience, have a happy holidays and new year. Peace.
All right, congratulations, Nathan Fair. That was fantastic. Look, it is now time to determine Season 6's Match of the Year. Robert Clark Chan, you've been listening to a lot of our episodes. You've judged a lot of them. What was your favorite match of Season 6?
Oh, boy.
Do you remember a single match of Season 6? Including the one you were just on.
I can't, because as soon as I do, then I have to judge another episode, get assaulted with facts, and everything from the previous episode leaves.
You tell these judges to stop canceling last minute.
I'll tell you what. The one that really piqued my interest most was Furiosa versus the Bride. The judge that you brought in, Douglas Burton, had a really interesting take on the whole hero's journey. And I think any like really good nerd is going to be interested in the nuts and bolts, in the structure of these stories that we enjoy taking in. And he wrote a book called The Heroine's Labyrinth that talks about how a lot of these structures go. And I find it fascinating. So to be able to apply it to something like Who Would Win, it's pretty neat. Pretty neat.
That was actually a great episode. That was really, that was a lot of fun. And it made Ray and I watch Furiosa and just both appreciate how good it was and how so many people didn't appreciate it and didn't check it out. And that was just absolutely criminal. I've definitely got a favorite. Ray, what was your favorite matchup of Season 6?
You know, I'm looking back through the list right here. You know, one that sticks out to me is when we did Comic Book Batman versus Dominic Toretto, a.k.a. a match James says didn't happen this year.
comic book Batman versus Dom Toretto. Yeah, we did this year.
It was a very special episode we did on April 1st. I don't know what's going on. I guess we did some sort of special bonus episode on there. We do that. I don't know why, you know, we do it. It often goes wrong. I don't know why we try to wedge those in there.
I don't think the server went down. I'm not sure what happened with it, but you know, I stand corrected. All right. Well, that was your favorite matchup. That
you know,
was
what I'll say right now. My other favorite matchup. And again, this is bringing characters in the show that I want to see. Deadpool and Wolverine versus Miraculous Ladybug and Cat Noir. We've had people suggesting those kids animated characters on the show for a while. I love Deadpool and Wolverine, the movie. I loved it. I absolutely love that movie so much. It's so much fun. And I love Ladybug and Cat Noir as a series, as characters. And I've been wanting to bring them on for a while. So it was very exciting to put those two characters together. But I would say, personally, Spider-Gwen versus Bane also really stuck out at me. My 7-year-old daughter's favorite character is Ghost Spider, aka Spider-Gwen. So the ability to take her on the show. So there, she didn't listen. She doesn't listen to the show. No, of course not. But somewhere years down the road, I'm going to play it for her. And I hope she's not going to be bored out of her mind because kids, you know, attention spans are very low. The point I'm trying to make is I did it for her, James, just like Homer Simpson with those Maggie Simpson pictures on his corkboard.
Hey, that's how Homer Simpson got the win over Peter Griffin. I get it. You know, I've already mentioned before, my favorite match of season 6 was Black Adam versus Dr. Doom. I love the character of Black Adam. I love the Rock portrayal of Black Adam. And Dr. Doom, you know, amazing character, fantastic, can do pretty much anything as long as he has prep time.
And you call me, prep time, you call me a troll, and then that's your answer? Stop it.
It is what that was a fantastic matchup. Ray, how big was your reaction when you lost that episode?
Correctly huge, because there's no way I should have lost that matchup. It was literally the shocking decision, controversial decision. There's a reason for that, and that's because no one agrees with you.
The moment I bring this matchup to anyone, whether they listen to the show or not, the few who do not, and I say, now, if Dr. Doom had no prep time whatsoever, and then they just went at it, they were like, oh, yeah, well, Black Adam would win. I'm just saying, I'm that convincing. All right, let's see who would win fan base had to say in terms of what was their favorite match of season 6. So the nominees are Mario versus Sonic round 2. That was a rematch. That was a huge episode for us.
It's a big battle.
Sony Venom versus MCU Spider-Man. Jason Voorhees versus Michael Myers. That's a classic one. Luke Skywalker versus Link. That was another great matchup. But
it's a hidden gem.
Again, this is a stiff competition for season 6. The winner of the match of the year is Mario versus Sonic round 2.
How about
Ray,
that?
Why do you think our fan base thought that was the match of the year?
I have to only assume round 2. Look, we did Mario versus Sonic in one of our first Showdown Septembers, and we had a judge who gave Mario credit for power-ups all around him. Everywhere he turned was an invincible star, and then Sonic was left in some barren wasteland where Sonic had no items, nothing to work with, and somehow this was seen as acceptable by our early judging was a little sketchy. Let's just go ahead and put it out there. That's why James won all those seasons to start the show. Keep it real, James. The point I'm trying to make here is that people saw Sonic, and I'm going to spoil it, win a rematch that he definitely should have won the first time. And that was very much a Rocky 2 situation where Rocky didn't win the, again, spoiler alert, Rocky doesn't win the first movie. Apollo Creed does, but he comes back and then wins the second movie in lightning fashion. And I think people appreciate a good comeback, a good montage, a good redemption story. And that's why this episode resonated with fans.
Robert Clark, you know, again, you're kind of a who would win historian in a way because you've been around in some way, shape, or form for many of these seasons. Why do you think this Mario versus Sonic round 2 resonated so much with our fan base?
I think I mentioned this earlier, too. The coming up with new and interesting matches is really hard. You don't want to go too far afield with too small a character because, like, nobody knows who you're talking about and is completely uninterested. So when you go to these big matches, it runs dry. The well runs dry. And I think that the show has done a really good job of finding new ways to tackle old battles. And this Marvel vs. Sonic is a really good example of that. Just like seeing the thing with fresh eyes, finding new ways to come at an old idea. That's every movie in Hollywood now, isn't it? Like, everybody does a sequel. Making a good sequel, though, that's real hard. And I think that episode managed to do it.
That's true. You know, we've kind of pushed the boundaries a lot on this show, and that's what you'd expect after six seasons. You know, speaking of six seasons, there's been a lot of highlights to the show and some really cool high spots, especially for this season. We had great judges. We had a lot of great new judges as well, which just is a testament to our fan base and to what we're doing as a production team for the podcast. On a personal note, I got to meet a ton of new fans for the Who Would Win show, and there's a lot more of you than I expected. You're really cool, awesome, great to talk to, love your input. Meeting a fan of the show in person is just one of the coolest things ever. Ray, what would you say are some highlights for you for season six?
Now, I don't understand this. People who listen to the show don't come up to me on the street. People who listen to the show tend to avoid me. And let me make it very clear, that's what I want. I don't want to talk to the people. Oftentimes, they smell. They smell very bad. Have you ever been to Comic-Con, James?
I have been quite a few times, yes.
Do you understand what the concept of quote-unquote gamer funk is?
Whatever you do in the privacy of your own home is your own business, right?
When a man comes up to me, a grown man, in December, January, and they're wearing sandals and jorts, I already know well before I get within 3 feet of them exactly what's about to assault my senses. And I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. So what I will say right now is, look, in 2025, during season seven, the plan is to finally get the live show back on tour. We had the live show ready, willing, and able back in a year called 2020. And we had all these great shows booked. We were going to have Dennis freaking Rodman as a judge on the Who Would Win show at an axe throwing facility. James, tell me I'm making that up. That is a true statement of fact. But what ended up happening is the world went into quarantine. The world changed forever. All of our live show plans were derailed. And somehow it's taken us to now to finally agree we need to get them back on track. If you live near or around the greater Los Angeles area, or hopefully beyond, we want to do a live show at your convention. We want to do a live show at any comic book nerd culture convention anywhere. If you know people and you're listening right now and you want us to come do a live show, we want to do it. Let's make it happen. Email whowouldwinshow@gmail.com. Let's make things happen. I'm not speaking for the boardroom. I don't know. I want to do this. I want to get out and avoid the people face to face.
I highly recommend you don't. This is one of the greatest things ever when you meet a fan face to face. But I do want to do more live events. The few live events that Ray and I have done were insanely fun, really interesting, and just a blast was had by everyone. Just an absolutely great time. Look, the reason we're having all of the success and future success, I'm just going to cut to the chase, is because of you, the Legion of Audience. It's our fan base. Without you, all that we are is just a couple of guys talking about some stuff into microphones, but it's because of our fan base that we now have a great show, that we now have recognition, that all this great stuff's coming our way because our fan base is just incredibly awesome, despite what Ray Stikinis has to say. Look, from all of us from the Who Would Win show, the production team, to all the judges, to Ray Stikinis even, and myself, we'd like to give you, the Legion of Audience, a big thank you in the form of Ray's home address. Feel free to show up anytime at his house, no matter what time, day, or night, and feel free to bring all of your friends and family members to enjoy the sheer insanity that is known as the Ray Stikinis household. Just remember, there's never a bad time to go to Ray Stikinis' house. Join us on Patreon to get his address. I'll also tell you where he hides his keys to get into his back door to his kitchen, and where he keeps the Pepsi Max. By the way, I don't even think it's really Pepsi Max. I think that's code for something else, but who knows? Maybe it is Pepsi Max. Let's try to drink a little bit and see what happens. Ray, anything you want to say to the fans before we sign off with season six?
One big message for the fans that I have is there's a special rule. If you're on the Facebook group, you understand there are rules. Be respectable is one. No quote unquote poop posting is another. But the most important rule, I believe rule 7, is Ray is right. I feel in season 6, we've gotten away from hashtag Ray is right. Probably because we've gotten away from that website where hashtags were a thing. And we all moved over to Threads. Some of you are pretending to move to Blue Sky where you repost your Threads content. Whatever. Meet me on Threads. Let's make this happen. Let's make 2025 the year of the Ray. Let's get Almighty Ray back in the ring. If enough people tell me to do it, I will start going back to the gym. I will start working out, and I will take my elderly body and I will get back in the ring and I will hit somebody real, real hard for your amusement. 2025, hashtag Ray is right.
Ray, I have offered to have you come with me to the gym. We'll go work out. We'll train. We'll do some fun martial arts stuff. We'll do even some pro wrestling stuff. I've offered this to you week after week after week, but you just said it, Legion of Honor. You heard it here first. Ray Sicanus has said in 2025, he is heading back to the gym. Let's see what kind of shape Ray Sicanus is going to be in. He's already said he's going to give up Pepsi Max, all lard-based products, no sugar for Ray Sicanus in 2025. This is going to be the year of Ray. We couldn't
To be fair, sorry. James, hold on. Yeah. Jim is one of my board games. Gaming friends.
Oh.
And I might play some Blood Rage or some Settlers of Catan over at Jim's house.
Got it. So when you said you're gonna hit the gym.
I will probably be physically violent against him during the game, yes, as well.
Fair enough. All right, Robert Clark Chan, you were an incredible judge. Congratulations on being judge of the year for season 6. What do you want to say to the fans before we sign off?
Don't take any wooden nickels.
And there you have it, wisdom from Robert Clark Chan.
What are you, 500 years old? Are you a magical creature, Robert Clark Chan?
I mean, is there a debate on that?
Yes to both of those.
I love it. Listen, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gabzy. You've heard this before, but remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Ray Sicanus, Robert Clark Chan, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for listening to another season of the Who Would Win Show. Happy holidays, and get ready for a crazy. Sorry, Erica.
Happy holidays, Kwanzaa, everybody. Enjoy
happy holidays
your Kwanzaa.
And get ready for a crazy season 7. We'll see you next time.
I like Kwanzaa.
It's a great holiday.
What's up, everybody? This is your favorite judge, the host of the Delvin Cox Experience, host of the PlayStation Experience, host of a lot of other shows, Delvin Cox, and I am here because we're talking about my favorite moments from this season. Season 6 of Who Would Win. There's been so many great moments this year. Honestly speaking, my favorite moment is kind of like might happen to be the last episode I hosted. I really enjoyed the Krampus Iceman battle because I didn't know what to expect. And in my head, I didn't expect it to go that way. And to me, it's pretty cool to be part of one of the biggest, honestly speaking, shockingest moments in this season in terms of James bringing it home early. And James did an excellent job, and I was just super shocked at it, and I was just amazed at the episode, how it came out. I was super proud because Ray brought it, James brought it, and it came down to the wire, and, I really enjoyed hosting that episode. The conversations in the Thunderdome and other things like that were quite funny. So once those come out in 2034, you'll be able to hear those. Last but not least, another one of my favorite episodes is The Mandalorian and Judge Dredd, because I'm a fan of both of those characters, and I liked it a lot, and I liked that there was a little bit of chicanery around the episode, because that, being a judge, I think is really cool and important to kind of weigh your options. You listen to the arguments without trying to add in your opinion on it. So it's very hard for a lot of judges to do that, So I kind of like give props to any judge who does that. But also, when you're judging a Who Will Win battle, unless they dispute it, you kind of have to take Ray and James at their word for what the character's feats are. So, and I say that because you don't want to be the judge who sits there like, nah, we know he can't do that. You can't call out because this is going to be like you're swaying the conversation. You're swaying the battle. Now, there's certain things you got to say, okay, that is not allowed. But otherwise, that you kind of want to be as fair as possible. But yeah, those two battles in particular were some of my favorites. I also love the Undertaker one because I'm a huge Undertaker fan, a huge wrestling fan. So it was really cool to see the Undertaker in the Who It Win show and done properly. All right, guys, thank you for putting on an excellent season 6. I'm super excited for season 7 to see what you guys bring to the table.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Ray back one more time, and there is a 1-in-2 chance that I'm very happy with the results of this past episode. One more reminder that if you'd like to join in with the Legion of Audience, you can go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and support what we do. That's it. That's the message. Time to start my research on next week's battle. I'll see you there. Remember crying when Optimus Prime died?
Or the days when every series had a ham-fisted anti-drug episode?
Or when you wrote fan fiction about how the Animaniacs were so hot in that water tower so they took off all their clothes and they started...
No!
No, different podcast.
This one is Knowing is Half the Podcast, a show devoted to the best and worst animated memories of your childhood.
Every week we recap a cartoon from the past to see if they're as good as you remember.
They're not.
What are you talking about? They're great!
You're both wrong. None of them get good until they're in a water tower.
No!
And Knowing is Half the Podcast.
Are you a geek who likes sports?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, we hope it is good. Welcome to another edition of Geeks Who Like Sports. The Yankees really kind of mailed it in. She's the Goblin Queen. Like, yeah. It's legit. Football 101. Take what the defense gives you.
The NBA All-Star Game is fake. The Emperor would absolutely throw Vader under the bus.
Listen or watch Geeks Who Like Sports on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.